This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so again, as we talked about early all day today, a World Series no-hitter, Dan Snyder possibly selling the command. I mean, you can't ask for a stranger day in sports. What did you say to me, Dave Preston? Is it 33 degrees in Hades?
I think it's 33 and declining, so I'm starting to see some frost maybe, but it's not frozen over yet because those the River Styx runs rather deep.
Right, it sure does. All right, so the news yesterday, people are immediately sort of jumping into he's selling the team, but this is an exploratory thing that he's doing with Bank of America Securities. What's the feeling, though? Is this really real, or is he just, let's explore some options, but I still might own this thing?
Well, I think in the over years, he said, I will never change the team name. I will never sell the team. Well, he finally changed the team name. So in the absence of him saying, I will never sell the team, this is at least, it's technically, I guess, a tie. But in a lot of the fans who have lived here and who have suffered over the last 23 years, it's a victory for them, even though this is a long way from becoming official. This is the wheels of justice may be in motion, but it takes a long time to get things going, as we've seen from other NFL team transactions. And there's even a Major League Baseball team that has been up for sale for the majority of this year, and there's no word on if the Nationals will be sold. So yes, fans I think are clutching to this like it's a life preserver, though, because it's been a rough 20 plus years. This was once one of the NFL's most successful franchises. From 1971 to 1992, they were consistently in the conference championship game, winning division titles in the NFC East when that was the best division in the league. They were consistently on at 4 o'clock with Pat Summerall and John Madden, and even the Tommy Frazier days too. So I mean, this is fans are excited about it, but I think there's also the caution that, you know what, this is a long way away from being settled.
All right, so let me ask about the overall business of the NFL. As people can figure this out, I mean, Dan Snyder's not getting fired. He owns this team. He can sell it or he cannot sell it, but there feels like over the last couple of weeks, months, that there is just a squeeze that's happening. Owners are now more vocal about this than they've ever been before. Why now? I hate to be so broad in the question, but why now?
I think they're just tired of just the weight of everything that has happened, from being called into the congressional hearings to the study on workplace, just shenanigans, to the fact that he may be skimming off the top. I mean, there are a lot of different things that are going on, and I think it's just the weight of everything, and to constantly in the news to have this be something that they mention. When it's something maybe once every 6 months, okay, you can put it off to the side, but it's every day, every week, there's something new that's developing. There's a new leak. And I think that owners are tired of it, because NFL owners, you just want to, enjoy making your money and go to your suite and not have people ask questions about how you run your business. And if something is wrong in the hen house in Ashburn and Landover, maybe there's not something wrong in Houston or in Tennessee or in Kansas City. And as long as people are asking, as long as there's something wrong in Washington, there is the possibility of people asking other owners, hey, what are you doing here? What's going on with your workplace behavior? And the NFL owners who are millionaires and billionaires, they don't want to be asked about what they're doing with their money and what they're doing behind closed doors.
Right.
And so I think that is what has really caused this to come to the forefront. My theory is that somebody spoke to Dan Snyder last week at the owners meeting about, hey, listen, we're not going to force you to sell the team, but it might be a good idea to get out of this thing. And if you make it your idea, more power to you.
because this—that's what exactly what I was thinking. This is the one consistent thing that I've said over and over again about owning an NFL team or even an NBA team or whatnot. It is the one thing you can own that other billionaires can't get into unless they are approved. Like billionaires can buy boats, all billionaires can buy jets, all billionaires can buy islands, all billionaires can buy mansions. But you can't just buy an NFL team. And if you're one of 31 people that own one of these things, you have something other people in the club, in the high-end Forbes club, don't have. Why in God's name would you ever give that away unless they're saying to you, we will make your life so horrific that you better get out of this thing?
Well, and extreme embarrassment,
right?
And extreme shame. And here's a guy who people have said this man has no shame. This man, but you know what? I think on some level he does, and I think on some level maybe he and his wife Tanya are just tired of this whole situation of being told that they don't belong in the league, and the franchise is valued at $5.6 billion. So he's going to leave with a healthy paycheck, and he also his family also owns 100% of the team. So he was able to buy out his minority owners in the last couple of years. So he's going to leave with even more money than he would have if he had sold a few years ago.
All right, I want to ask you about the stadium. I want to ask you about his inability to get a stadium done. It's probably more complex in an area like Washington and Virginia and whatnot than it is, let's say, Pittsburgh. But in the end, why couldn't he get this done? And people are saying he has zero influence, zero, on the not only national politicians, but local politicians that he would need on his side. Is there validity to that?
I think it's just a combination of lack of goodwill and the fact that the stadium in Landover, his practices there have been less than ideal. He was penny wise and pound foolish, meaning that, he's charging extra money for this and that and this and that, but he, over the last 23 years, he's lost a lot of goodwill. And that includes, and it's one of those things that from selling, old, expired airplane peanuts, his first run to overcharging for a poor product. Unfortunately, he did inherit a less than ideal stadium situation at FedEx Field, but it's one of those things that, for whatever reason, he hasn't been able to have the right people in place to massage the right people in the different, in Maryland, D.C., or Virginia, because you should feel you should be able to play these three, areas against one another, but he's not been able to. I mean, he was able to get the practice facility down in the training camp facility down in Richmond, which the city of Richmond really got taken to the cleaners on that. And I think that's one of the reasons why Virginia is kind of reticent to make a move on anything. We've talked over the last year or so, Tony, about different stadium sites potentially in Virginia. And maybe there's one near the airport that might have worked. But it's tough to get something built in Virginia because the governor is term limited. He only has a 4-year term, so he can't push stuff through, and you're dealing really with the legislature on a different level than you are in other constituencies, where you've got the Maryland governor, you can serve 2 terms. You're only limited to 4 years in Virginia. In D.C., city council controls a lot of the purse strings, and they also, a lot of the neighborhoods control what goes here, what goes there. That's why Georgetown University does not have it on campus facility. Not that the school doesn't want it, but the neighborhood pretty much doesn't want a facility like that. So it's tough to get. There's a lot of different reasons why a stadium hasn't happened, and I think one of them is that one has the feeling that the owner wants to win this deal instead of getting the best deal. What do they say? Perfect is the opposite of good. He's looked for the perfect deal as opposed to what should be a really good deal. I think if you look at the map, MGM Casino, which is on the south side of the Beltway, there is some land out there, and it would be you're able to get there from various and sundry metros and highways and byways. So that might be a good spot if they move there. In my heart of hearts, I think they wind up moving to whoever the owner is. If they're not able to get to the RFK site, which they might be able to get to if they have a new owner, if Dan Snyder is still the owner of this team in 5 years, as maybe he's taken on minority partners. That might be what this whole transaction, you know, pursuit might be, to get some money from minority investors. I think they moved to the parking lot right near FedEx Field and turned FedEx Field into a parking lot.
That's what they did in Denver. That's what they did with the Mile High Stadium. They did the exact same thing. They tore down the old stadium, and you could walk on it and be like, this is where Elway made that comeback, because I'm standing right in lot 60.
I think I see Steve Watson's. I think I see Steve Watson's Achilles over here that he left.
Larger question here. I get it when a franchise, especially one that has a lot of success, and they go through a 20-year period of nothing. I get the whole sell the team. Almost that's sort of a cry all around the country.
Right.
Why though? How could he have stood on the? I did the best I could. I tried to hire the right people. I tried to hire the right coaches. I gave this to people that were smart about football, and they didn't do this. I had Bobby Bethard here, for crying out loud. I had a whole bunch of people here trying to run this in the 20 years. I brought back Joe Gibbs. I've tried my best. I took in Steve Spurrier. This is not what I do. I just own this. My expertise is in something else. So you can ask me to sell the team, but I've legitimately tried to be a winner. Could he do that or no? Did he have too much influence in the reason why 20-plus years they've stunk?
I think he could have if he had humbled himself, but you know, these billionaires, they don't become billionaires by being humble.
No, that's true.
They don't become... You know, the guys who own, like, the Scrooge McDucks of the world. They don't get there by saying, I don't know. They get there by persevering. And you know what? If plan A doesn't work, I'm going to make sure that plan B does. And if plan, you know, and they will, that's how they've, with the exception of those who have inherited their millions and their teams, that's how a lot of these guys have gotten there, and women as well. And I think, he has tried multiple routes to get there. He has always wanted to be in the room. I think that's one of the reasons why when Greg Williams was up for the head coaching job after Joe Gibbs retired the second time in 07, I think you and I, maybe on another network, other station, we were talking about this, and it's like Greg Williams is the perfect guy for this job. It didn't work out because Dan Snyder wants to be in the room. Even if he has no influence, as he has right now, he has nothing to do with the day-to-day operations of the team, he still wants to be in the room. He still wants to be listed as a cast member of the team, that the group that turns this team around. It hasn't happened, and you know, so he is viewed as the common thread of what has gone wrong with every bad decision over the last 23 years. Another thing that does not help him is that a major difference between he and Ted Leonsis, who owns the Capitals, also owns the Capital City Go-Go, the Mystics, and the Washington Wizards, and his potential, they think that he might be trying to buy the Washington Nationals, as that is now for sale. Ted Leonsis makes money off of all of his properties. He is not, you know, he does not, you know, suffer. He does not run a charity, but he has always positioned himself as a steward of the Capitals and the Wizards and the other teams. Yes, he technically owns them, but he has always, from a PR standpoint, said, you know what, you fans, you're the ones who own this team. This is the city's team. Your hopes and dreams own this team. I'm just the steward, and I'm getting out of the way of my basketball and hockey people and letting them run it, and I'm just a glorified fan. Whereas Dan Snyder has always positioned himself as the owner, the guy who is not just signing the checks, but he is in the kitchen. He is adding the cinnamon to the chili, even though some say that cinnamon and chili should never be together in any way, shape, or form. He's the guy adding vanilla extract, maybe too much sometimes, but his image is someone who takes more control over his product, and it's his team, as opposed to Ted Leonsis, who has been a steward in the public image.
Dave's always good stuff. Thank you so much for coming on so quickly on this story. I know it's kind of been a busy whirlwind moment, but I appreciate it as always, my friend.
My pleasure. Sorry we did not get a chance to discuss the Syracuse Southern New Hampshire University exhibition the other night.
72-58.
What would Rich Levine do?
I know. Good point. Dave Preston, WTOP in Washington, on the latest on Dan Snyder on a Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them for a quote today. We'll continue on Wake Up Call.